I have the chair of the local board with me, Kath Hanley. Good morning, Kath.
Morena, Chris.
So, you're a few months now into the chair role? How's that all going?
I don't know how many months it is now because I've got so tired, but it's actually going really well and it's working out, the way I would have wanted it to work out, which is great. Good support from the board.
Yep. So I suppose one of the big things that has happened, and we've mentioned it on the station previously, but I'm keen to hear how it's going, are these changes around governance, decision-making, direction around Matiatia. So do you want to just kind of maybe give us a thumbnail sketch of what those changes are?
Sure. There is a new governance pilot on behalf of Auckland Council, and the local board is the pilot, and there are 21 local boards, 20 of whom would like to be doing what we're doing, which is great. So we're piloting, taking on more decision-making that would normally be done by the governing body. So that's the councillors, like we've got Mike Lee representing Waiheke on Auckland Council. So part of their decision-making has been delegated for us. And our first request that has been granted, which is great, is to take responsibility for the redevelopment of Matiatia, and that includes up the hill at the Ofanaki car park. That's the gravel car park halfway up the hill. And we can't do that. Doesn't give us responsibility for Auckland Transport's decisions, but we are working in partnership with Auckland Transport on that. So that's where the powers come from.
When people say they're working in partnership with Auckland Transport, I mean, it seems to be that the long-standing experience is it's not much of a partnership.
Yeah, in actual fact, we've been working with Auckland Transport on this for the last 18 months, doing some formative work. So they have actually allocated funding of $15 million in their transport long-term plan for this redevelopment. So we're really confident about this, and they've shown all signs of willingness. I think that's quite separate from some of the decision-making that's still taking place with respect to which footpaths get built, which roads don't get maintained, you know, how much money they're putting into pothole restitution, so prioritising Auckland Transport's work is a major challenge for us, and we're expecting a meeting, but we still haven't got a firm date to actually get stuck in with them over that stuff as well.
So the other body that comes into the Matiatia question, you've got some private land holdings there, but also the council controlled organisation Panuku, you've got a role in there?
Yeah, Panuku are responsible for the leasing, they're responsible for selling and buying land, but also all the leases. So the commercial leases, not on the wharf, because that's Auckland Transport, but on the land, and everybody will know there are some businesses on the land there, those leases have been with Panuku. They're still with them, but they are now currently being administered by Panuku on our behalf, and after they've finalised some decisions with existing tenants, then those leases will pass over to council community facilities, and we are directly responsible for the decisions on leases on Waiheke with community facilities.
So how close is the board to having a plan, a blueprint of what you want to negotiate in this arrangement?
Yeah. There are one or two things that have to happen first. So Ngāti Pāua are the iwi on the island responsible for demarcating historic and cultural boundaries of significance to them. So they're well advanced in that but haven't confirmed it. So it's like a property at home. You can't plan your house if you don't know where your boundary is. So that's one of the first steps. But there is some formative work being done, and we're also going to be looking at the older plans. Then coming to some agreement with Auckland Transport about a draft plan that will go out for consultation to everybody on Waiheke.
So what's the status of the work that the board funded Direction Matiatia to do?
That's just on hold at the moment. So as soon as we get the nod on one or two things from Auckland Transport and Ngāti Pāua, then Direction Matiatia, we will all be involved in a planning meeting, and Direction Matiatia will take over the consultation with the community. So they'll be back directly involved. So what's been on hold is any decision making around Matiatia, and that's why we've gone in very hard to get this governance responsibility decision making back.
Yeah, now you've talked about public consultation, but I mean, there are a lot of different drivers, terrible pun again.
Very funny.
Yeah, it's a morning of terrible puns. I just talked to the last people about climate change and said, oh, how's the debate heating up? Well, I suppose a lot of different, a lot of different factors, you know, and you'll be consulting, but over the years, there have been a number of different agendas, if you like, maybe another word for it. And you'll have a position on this. Is the focus on moving away from cars towards public transport? Is it about easing the path for commuters? Is it about a tourism focus? Is it about cycling? I mean, you'll have some sense of what you want to achieve.
Okay, great question, because every one of those is a valid interest, so none of that can be discounted, and none of it is secondary to anything else. So passive modes of transport, well, they're not actually passive, are they active? But cycling and walking are really important to us, as we have an agenda for that for the island. Tourism is really important to this island, not just to tourist operators, but to accommodation providers and others who reap benefits from having visitors here. Our commuters are the most significant working group we have on this island, so we have to take account of the economic benefits they bring to the island, and we can't make life harder for anyone. But at the moment, we've got, you know, it's incredibly difficult for anyone on the island who isn't a commuter to get down to Matiatia if they can't catch a bus, or they're not on a bus route, or they're time limited. So we have to take account of all of them. So no, there isn't a single group that can't be taken account of. And I think in the mix, we can get that as close as possible to everybody getting something out of this. But at the same time, everybody's going to lose something, because there's no way on a small piece of land, which this is, a narrow fringe of land going down to the wharf, there's no way to accommodate all interests or make somebody's interests sit above somebody else's, because we don't have the space. But I think we have to enhance public transport. We have to enhance park and ride. We have to include developing the Owhanaeke, that's the free car park on the way down, developing it and getting a shuttle working probably down from there to the bottom. We also have to reconfigure the commercial operations that are down there and work out what's reasonable for commercial operations. Because they one advantage of having commercial operations is they fund what they're doing by way of lease, and we can't just blindly, you know, like remove funding. We have to fully fund what we're doing long term. So I think what that will mean is an increase in the number of paid park spaces. I think that's clear to the board, and we could certainly start by saying, you know, that's highly likely that if you're going to Matiatia, then you will be paying for by car, then you will be paying something for that, for a parking space. Doesn't matter where you are. So that's kind of a principle we're buying into, because we must reorganise, and we can't say somebody who parks at 7 in the morning has a priority over somebody needing to get to town for their business or whatever, hospital, or catch a plane at 10 in the morning. It doesn't, you know, that isn't what life's about here on Waiheke.
So you've got, you know, you've got, I suppose, significant move forward with this agreement, but as you say, there's still some things to, hurdles to cross. So is there a time frame on the Ngāti Pāua input? And
I'm not the one working with Ngāti Pāua, council is, but it is, I can't give you a date. We're moving as hard as fast as we can, but in the meantime, that won't, other planning will take place, including a draft plan, and we might end up just having to say we think this is what's going to have to, how it's going to have to work for Ngāti Pāua. But I think they'll get that sorted in as soon as possible. So if you're looking at when things could happen, you're talking about very big expenditure. You're talking about big reconfiguration, and you're talking about therefore having to fulfil all sorts of needs that we can't see from here, which is developing business cases, working when funding needs to be drawn down, let alone what's going to happen there. So we fit in with bigger schedules on those sorts of things. But our aim is to move and make those decisions while we are the board and take ownership of it, because we've had a lot of history where it's kind of passed the parcel. The biggest issues just get passed from one board to the next. So we want to make the decisions, get the plans started, hopefully get some of that implementation done before the America's Cup. And that's simply because that's another surge in visitors, and we don't want the same kind of mess that we've got at the moment.
And where does the petrol tax come into the mix?
The fuel tax is, we've been told that the $15 million that's earmarked by Auckland Transport will come out of the fuel tax. So that's as far as we've got in terms of our understandings. There are a lot of other projects around, and every single region seems, or local board area has got something out of the fuel tax. But when they actually come to allocate, get the kind of all the sums done and get the projects on the kind of backed up and then rolling, you know, how funds roll and when it rolls from the fuel tax, I can't say.
So I suppose in your arrangements, your governance arrangements that have been reached, is there something that kind of addresses the issue of transparency? I mean, there seems to be a lot of murkiness, you know, with the, we recently had those car parks that were wrongly allocated. There's been years of issues around the transparency around the wharf tax. So how do you know how much money is coming in from that fuel tax and whether it's being allocated in the right place?
Well, I think we can't be answerable for that, because that is a council and Auckland Transport issue. However, I think they will need to make it clear, because it's a government tax, and I would think that people will need to be really clear that it's clearly seen to be spent on the things they've said it's going to be. Does that answer?
Yeah. So I'm talking to Kath Hanley, chair of the local board. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, Kath, was you've got some funding. Or it looks like you just wanted to say something more on that.
No, I was going to talk about the transparency of thing aside from the fuel tax. I think there's no reason why we wouldn't be completely transparent about everything other than commercial transactions, because people have a right when they get a lease to, you know, confidentiality around certain aspects of that. But we wouldn't want anything to be murky. We'd like it to be all so clear, and there's no reason not to be, from my point of view.
Yeah. All right, so on to the local board has some funding rounds coming up. These are where the board is approached by various organisations and people in the community with projects they want to undertake, and the board kind of has a look at that and goes, well, these ones are worthy and we'll put some money here. So what kind of funding rounds do you have coming up, and what are the foci of those rounds?
Well, we have a specific one on environmental initiatives. So we've allocated money in the next this financial year, some of which is for environmental initiatives, but the grants are a very small part of the board investment in environmental initiatives. So we have already, you know, we earmark every year a significant amount for the volunteer programs that are led and managed mainly, but not exclusively, by the Wahihi Resources Trust. But we've got other bodies as well, lots of them working on environmental projects. So some of that money we pre-allocate and the rest is contestable. In the instance of environmental grants, we are looking to find a process whereby we're not... the amount we're putting aside is not insignificant, but in the scheme of things, in our environment, it is. So we're not looking to have people who need grants duplicating where they go to. So we're looking at a process and some guidance about, you know, how we allocate those, how we prioritise. For instance, rat bait in a particular area over stoat management in another area and restoration of the raupo in a wetland. So, Yeah.
And then you have another round as well, which is more broad.
Yeah, we do. And we have those every year. They're getting so difficult, though, because when you said, you know, we decide what's worthy, we rarely see anything that's not worthy. We just don't have the funds to meet the community needs. Some of that is because things that happen elsewhere in New Zealand don't happen here. So, for instance, the Lion Foundation funds school sports uniforms and all sorts of sports equipment all around the country, but because we don't have Lion Foundation pokey machines here, we don't get their funding. So the outcome of that is people go anywhere in the community to get what they need. But the same applies to other types of funding as well. So it's really tight. And also we've had the New Hope store has always given 100% of its takings back into the community, and it's had some tough years recently, so it's not doing its community grants for a while. They'll come back on stream, but in the meantime, people come to us with their needs, so we have to just make some, you know, what are in our mind valid decisions, and we have to turn away an awful lot of applicants.
And that's coming up in August, isn't it?
From memory, but I'm afraid that's because it's administered by the officers. I'm afraid I'm not closely in touch with that.
Yeah, but if you go to the Waiheke Local Board Facebook page, you'll find details there.
Yep.
Yeah. And I remember, I did mention there was one other thing I wanted to ask you about. I remember what it is now, which is around the freedom camping. So the board's recently had a look at the issue of freedom camping and made a couple of decisions.
Yeah, the council's actually made the decisions, and this is part of what happens, but they have consulted really well with us, and they've been over twice and talked to us about the new regulations, what it means for everybody around the country and what that would mean for us. And then they had a first kind of poke around to say, what about this area and that? Then we gave them a more extensive list, and they came back and have agreed with in each instance that the areas that had potential because they had toilets or showers or whatever, or parking and a toilet, that they're just not suitable for us. And there are a few reasons for that. One is we don't want to encourage people across on big vehicles into our landscape. We already have way more tourism than we have the infrastructure to manage, particularly our roading. Our roading and things like our access to fresh water, potable water, drinking water, that is, toilets and so on. The other thing is that those vehicles have a chemical toilet, which work brilliantly, and all sorts of places have dump stations set up for them so that they can get rid of that stuff. But we don't have them here, and we don't want those chemicals in our septic systems. So it's really important not to encourage them. And the other part of that is we know during the summer that we have a desperate shortage of accommodation. We currently have people who are homeless, who camp out, who sleep in cars or in the bush or whatever, hopefully near a toilet. They use the showers down at the Onitangi Sports Park. So those people have I won't say all, but there is a genuine need here to acknowledge that they're around, that at the moment they're managed kind of passively. We don't want them at risk either of being kind of turfed out of the places that are home to them over the summer. So,
it's not even only summer now, is it? And I think people would, you know, driving around would perhaps think that we already have freedom campers, but those are actually people living in those areas.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And using a facility. And I know down where I live in Blackpool, my son-in-law found a guy in a hammock up at Pūtikawa hanging over the tree last summer, and that's his home. So, yeah, we have them all year. Not probably in hammocks, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
They're not visitors.
No,
they might be visitors to the island.
Migrant workers.
Migrant workers are itinerant workers who come here for our businesses. Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose opens up the wider question of, you know, just kind of housing and working and viability and so on. That's way too big for us to get into now. But
Yeah. But which our board does spend time on frequently, kind of working through what we can do to support housing initiatives, to support and at least just understand the dynamics of the place. So at the moment I'm organising just meetings with the police and the school principals to work out, you know, how we're going, not just with the kids and their families, you know, and how many are leaving the island because they can't afford to live here, but how are their staff getting on, the teachers, the police, because we've had historically issues with people leaving because they actually can't afford, they're professionals, you know, but their income doesn't stretch to effectively renting, or if they wish to buying a house here. So
yes, well, or a good house. Getting people to come to the island seems to be a real hurdle.
I think it's a major. Yeah, we still have population growth. It's a bit hard to kind of get underneath that to see what where the need is resting. But our social agencies certainly meet that need every day and see it. Yeah.
It must be, I suppose, you know, when you look at the stuff and you're kind of going, you know, we can't get people can't afford to move to the island, we've got people living homeless, and then you kind of, on the other hand, you're going, but can they get a park at Matiatia?
Well, they can overnight where the toilets are.
Yeah.
Or actually not where the toilets are, because they're locked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, thanks very much for joining us this morning. I've been talking to Kath Hanley, Chair of the local board. Thanks very much.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
All right. You're listening to Island Life on Waiheke Radio, your weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues.